Now, while they're coming up here, I'm going to start out talking just a minute about prayer. Because Paul emphasizes that we should pray continually. And I want to explain that to you, what that means. That means that while you're communicating, it doesn't mean you have to sit there and just, oh, Father God, I thank you. You know, what it means is you're constantly in an attitude of prayer. And everything that you're running through your being, you're also running it through kingdom. You're running it through God. You're running it through the Father. As you're speaking up, He's speaking back to you, and then He can speak through you. And that's really kind of how we live our day. Then there's times when you want to be, we talked about earlier, targeting prayer, specific prayers, and we want to target those things for others. You know, I don't know about you, but I pray a lot for other people. Matter of fact, I probably spend most of my time praying for other people. I think you should first, it's not a selfish thing, but I think the first thing you need to do, I always teach people, I like to take care of myself, because the Bible says you got to work out your own salvation. So I ask the Lord to forgive me of any of my sins that I may have committed, you know, willingly or unwillingly, you know, purposely, not purposely, just whatever. And I just want to get my own heart clear. And then after I get my stuff fixed, then I start praying for other people. And so, you know, you want to make sure you're including other people in your prayer. And then there's some times, now, I'm not saying everybody has to do this right off the bat, but there's times when there's something called intercessory prayer. And yes, it's praying for other people, but it's really praying for other things. And you're praying, you might be coming against a spirit. That's something very, if you don't understand this, or maybe you haven't been here in a long time, the way the Lord taught it to me, and I'd never heard this before, but the Lord just dropped it in my spirit one day. I was reading about that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. And, you know, that's what we always want to fight with, right? We want to fight with somebody. We're mad at someone, so we want to go after someone. Or we want to go. And all of a sudden he says, "Wow, you don't wrestle with flesh and blood." Amen. So I'm like, well, how are you going to take it down? How are you going to win? You know, I thought, well, am I supposed to just cow down? And no. And then he says, but principality. And it starts naming. And then the Lord just spoke to my spirit as clear as day. He said, principalities work through personalities. First time I'd ever heard that statement. And the Lord spoke it to me. And I've been preaching it for about 20 years now. Principalities work through personalities. And if you want to see something change, stop fighting with the people around you. Start praying with the principality that is taking over their mind and is speaking to them. Caitlin, was it yesterday you told me? I had something coming against her. And she said right off the bat, she said, "I just started praying for the principality." Turned it on the dime, just like that. So you can turn things very quick. I cannot tell you how many times I'm going to speak to somebody here, and then I'm going to turn it over. Listen to me. You ever had a raging spirit or an irritating or a troublemaking spirit in your home? Had one in there the other day, and everybody was just kind of short-wicked in the house. You ever had that? Yes. Everybody's wick is short that day. And I walked into my bathroom, and I just looked in the mirror. And I said, "I bind you, spirit." I said, "You tormenting devil, you." And I bound him in the earth realm. I bound him in the heaven realm. And I said, "You have no power over us. We serve Christ." And I mean, I just let him have it. 10 minutes, man, it was butterflies and rainbows. The sun will come out too. I mean, it was unbelievable. You could feel the tension change in a matter of minutes. So what I'm telling you is the difference in you having a wonderful life or having a miserable life. But there's sometimes you have to go ahead and engage those things in prayer. Now tonight what we have is, you know, we're always hearing, you know, from our seasoned ministers. And so we thought maybe you'd like to hear from some of our younger ministers. Now listen, yeah. Don't be fooled by the age, because already at this age, they've been through some stuff, and they're not novice by any means, okay? So what we're going to do is I'm going to turn it over to them in just a minute. I'm going to kind of lead them through this, but what I want is we've all had to step in and we've had to pray, or we've had to intercede, or we've had to take a stand of faith, and we've had to test it. And it's really not a testimony until first you have a test. And then you can testify after God has brought you through the testing period. And so sometimes we call it miracles. Sometimes we call it breakthrough. Sometimes we tell an incredible event happened in our life. Whatever you want to call it, major blessing. I'm going to let them go through their life and pick one of their favorites of where God intervened and they had to stand in faith. They had to believe that. And I'm going to let them walk you through a little bit. And it's going to be short stories, but it's going to be pertinent to the fact. So everyone can kind of get a turn. We're going to ask you, you know, kind of get through it pretty quick. But at the same time, I want you to tell them what you did. It wasn't like I just prayed a do, re, mi, you know, and now I lay me down to sleep prayer and it was done. They had to walk through some stuff. They had to believe God for stuff. They had to stand in the face of crisis and turmoil. And so, Jez, you want to go ahead and start? We'll just start at this end if you want. Anybody wants to go? If you don't feel led to share, you don't have to share on this pass. But, Jez, why don't you kick us off?
Get that right. I can honestly easily say that God has answered more prayers in my personal life than I could ever have time to name. We'd be up here for the rest of my life talking about how many ways God has answered me. But I can honestly say in the lowest of circumstances, God has given me my greatest triumphs. And through my greatest hurts, he's brought me through the greatest of pains and given me the greatest victories of my life. You know, the devil tried to speak a death sentence over me not once, but twice. And I've only been alive for 28 years. And he's already tried to speak a death sentence over me twice. And you better believe that prayer was the most powerful weapon that I had access to. Nobody knows but me and God the nights that I've spent on my face crying out and yelling. You know, I come off as quiet when I'm around everyone else, but don't think that I don't battle in the spirit. Because I know when I'm with my God, nothing can stand against me. And in my lowest of circumstances, God has brought me to my greatest triumphs. And see, God gives us access and gives us the tools to our healing, but it's up to us to access it. There's also a devil that wants to take that away as quickly as possible if we allow it. And so you better believe that spiritual warfare is very real, and I am a living testimony. I am healthier now than I've ever been in my entire life. God brought me from what was supposed to be a death sentence, gave me a wife, gave me a son. I was not supposed to have children because of chemotherapy. They said that very low chance you'll have a child. He's healthier than any child I know. I mean, he's the healthiest child. Not one circumstance is on his life, not one issue. He's as healthy as can be, and he gave me such a beautiful wife. They said I would never be able to play a sport. I am a tennis coach at a high school. I mean, anything that God can do, he has done. So if I don't know who needs to hear this tonight, but if you're dealing with something in your life or you have doubt that prayer doesn't work, or if you feel like, you know, you just don't know what to do, or you feel like you don't have access to healing, or you want to give up, believe me, I've been there. I wanted to give up, but on the times that I wanted to give up the most, God gave me my greatest healing. So it's so important that you tap in at your weakest moment and he'll give you your strongest victory, and I'm living proof of that.
Real quick, because it just hit me when he was saying that. I don't know if you guys remember the service when you were here. They had just gotten back from Forward. And he was literally, he had almost passed out twice because, you know, he had Hodgkin's lymphoma. You know, he had a death sentence on his life. And the enemy was trying to take him out that day. And he could barely make it into the church. They had been to Forward Conference. And when he came up here, they kind of walked him up here. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord hit him. He got up and testified what was going to happen, and everything he spoke came true, and he's living proof. So, and I'm telling you right now, he literally physically could not walk it out that day, but he did it anyway. So there's some days, you know, your flesh is going to challenge. There's sometimes you're going to be, you know, you're going to be up against events and you won't even know what to do. But the Spirit of God in you is greater than the spirit that's in the world, and he will overpower and overrule anything that's coming against you. Thank you. Great job, Chaz. Great job. Caitlin, you want to go ahead?
You know, obviously he mentioned earlier about how you write in your prayer journal and you see those prayers come to life. And I do that a lot. I love that. That is one of my favorite things. And one of those was with Chaz, just seeing how that came, that product came to pass. And another thing that also sticks out to me is the fact that praying when I was uncomfortable, and what I mean by that was the uncomfortable moments. Like, for instance, one time before we found out we were pregnant with Charles, I was told something I didn't want to hear. A month later, we had Charles. But what I had to do after that appointment was I went home, I was praying and dancing before the Lord. I didn't want to do that, but I did it. And obviously, we saw what happened a month later. And then another time was I was taking my school test, and I was not passing it, and I was failing and failing and failing, and I wanted to give up so bad. I was like, well, maybe I'm not meant to be a teacher. Maybe this just isn't for me. And I was crying, and Chaz saw me, and he saw how hard it was on me. And then I went in my closet. I got down on my knees, and I cried. I didn't want to get on my knees and cry, but I did it, and I just felt the Holy Spirit give me the biggest hug, letting me know that it was going to be okay. And guess what? I am a kindergarten teacher. I am loving on those babies, and they are loving on me. And you know what? I don't have to talk about Jesus because they're the ones that talk about Jesus, but I do something every day. I go in there, I get my worship music ready, and I am praying over those children every single day. So prayer makes a difference. And like you said earlier, there was a spirit that had to be binded up. And let me tell you, the difference in my classroom now, it makes a difference. It really does. So for me, that is what sticks out to me, is doing things that you don't want to. Because even though it's uncomfortable, there's going to be some comfort afterwards.
Okay. I'm up here without my husband, but it's going to be all right because I can do this. What God put on my spirit to discuss, because I've been thinking about it a lot today and even up until just a few moments ago, is the fact that sometimes faith isn't about what you can start doing. Sometimes it's about what you can stop doing. And so in 2023, it was a funny time. I just got a job in 2022. I was very excited about it, very happy about it, and things were looking up for us, very much up on a financial level. And in 2023, things started to shift. And the irony in that is because, you know, I pray, and I also pray that people at church are praying for me as well, and I hear, you know, that our leaders pray for us. But Pastor Rosalind, who had no idea at the time, she spoke a sermon about shifting. And she had us young adults come and sit, and there was a moment where we shifted. And it was so God, because my husband had just decided he was going to stop his career and change one, which, of course, immediately can bring up some sort of like, okay, well, what are we going to do? What's happening here? But God had spoken, so he was moving. And so that was a shift. We were also in the process of buying a home, going from one place to another in this time frame of uncertainty. So now your career is changing, you're unemployed, I'm working, and yet we're shifting. And I say that to say I got so angry, and I thank God for freedom classes, hallelujah, bless God, because Lord, the deliverance that came from it. But it was in that time frame that, and I'm gonna keep it real with you guys, anger, bitterness, confusion, just all the things that the devil would want to come in the way of your marriage, all of the chaos that he would want to ensue, it was starting. But it was things like going to the gathering and having the support of other women and knowing that they were praying for me as well, even without knowing all the details of the circumstance, you know what I mean? They could look at you and just pray. You could walk past somebody in this church and they don't, you haven't talked to them about anything and they just come here, lay the hand on you and start praying. It's a real thing. But prayer got us through that, and it had also showed us when you look to the brook and the brook is dry and you start to worry, then you've forgotten where your source came from. And so prayer really, really just helped us through that difficult time. And it just showed us, I talked to Katina about this. I was literally on the phone with Katina once when this happened, because there were just things that just didn't look right financially. And I kid you not, when I tell you, you hear sermons and checks will just come in the mail out of nowhere. Checks were coming in the mail out of nowhere. And it was just that prayer that got us through such a time as that. And I just want to take this time too to just thank the church for being a praying church. I thank you guys for the 21 days of prayer and just everybody who prays for us as well as a family. So thank you.
Well, on a separate note, the Lord's been laying on my heart to share with you what happens when God says no. It's probably that he's trying to realign your identity in him. Incredibly long story short, July 27th, we lost our fifth son at right after childbirth, about 30 minutes after he was born. He died in my arms. And those of you who don't know me, I've been in the military for a long time. I've been through a lot of difficult things. And so God has sustained me and kept me where I'm at. But this almost broke me. In fact, it did break me. But Jesus rescued me. He rescued me. Before my son was born, we were given the name Crew by the Holy Spirit. Spirit of the Lord said you can name him Crew. Christ reveals extraordinary works. I was so convinced by faith that he would be healed. I had that faith. I felt I had that faith. And God said, no, he's going to reveal his extraordinary works by changing my lukewarm Christianity. By bringing me out of the darkness and into the light. He rescued me. And I want to tell somebody who's going through something in here that he's using this to realign you in him. He's using this to bring you out of the light into the darkness, because we are in the last hour. And he's coming back. He's coming back for a pure, spotless bride. And we're going to be that pure, spotless bride. But we've got to obey. And we've got to walk with him. And I wish I could put into words what he's done to me in prayer. You got to seek his face in the secret place. Jesus went away to be with the Father so that he could be with him. We have to go away daily and be with him in the secret place. And you will receive what he has for you, but you've got to seek his face and obey his word and cling to his promises. And I love you. And I'm praying for all of you and for this church. I'm thankful for you guys. It's hard finding Bible-believing, Spirit-led believers. And I found you guys. The Lord led us here. And do not stop praying for this man. You cover him in prayer, and you stand in the gap for your church, you stand in the gap for your family, and you walk by faith.
Okay, I read something earlier this week, and I wanted to share it, so I'm going to cheat, because there's no way I could remember this. But I read that traditionally, shepherds would mark their staff to signify events with God, or something they prayed for that was answered, or a way that they were saved. So they would walk around and carry their staff. And it reminded them of his goodness and the protection over their flock. So like the shepherds, we all have many answered prayers, big and small. I write down the prayers and I reflect on them and remember his goodness. Like in Psalms 23, his rod and his staff, protect me. And I thought that's so interesting, because if they're looking at the rod and the staff, they're looking at the things that he's already done. And if he's the same today,
that's right,
he's going to do the same thing again, and he's never going to change. And we can hang on to that faith. And that's, I wanted to share this prayer that I had back in 2018. We were kind of new at the church, more like we were coming here. It was during the 21 days of prayer, and I just was so tired of the lukewarm Christian life. I was a Christian my whole life, but I never had a relationship with him. And I decided that I would do a fast and just seek after him with all I had. And on the third day of that fast, it was food. On the third day of that fast, I found myself at the end of my property just crying out to him in the dirt and asking that he would remove anything that is hindering that relationship. I knew he had forgiven all of the sins in my life, but I knew that there was something there that was keeping me in bondage, and it was myself, because I wasn't giving it to him. I kept hold of it, thinking that he wasn't good enough to let it go. And he instructed me to talk to Nate about it. And through me talking to Nate, it revealed and opened up things that he needed to talk to me about. And through all of that, being obedient to what he asked me to do, which was very hard, telling him those things, he put a firm foundation in our marriage, and it's never been stronger.
You know, when we fast and pray, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. We blame everything on the devil, but we rarely look at ourselves. We got to get ourselves out of the way so he can do what we do. And so when we fast and pray, it's not a religious act. You're telling your body no because you want more of him. And in our freedom class, I love this quote that we teach, is when your body gets hungry, it gets loud. But when your spirit gets hungry, it gets so quiet. And so that's what that is. And fasting has been a huge part of our story. So. Okay.
I think I remember one of the first and one of my favorite probably prayers that I prayed that I can look back on that kind of started me on my journey was, God, give me a greater and deeper thirst for you. And I think at the time, I didn't even know what I was praying, but I knew that I meant it, and I think God knew that I meant it. And, you know, of course, it wasn't the next day that he gave me that hunger and thirst, but it was over time to where now I can look back and think that even during this time of prayer and fasting, that now the only thing that I want to feed myself with is this water and that water right there. And so it's done so much for me in my life since then. It's anywhere that I am now and anyone that I'm around is because of prayer. And he's shown me that prayer has shown me that what God can do in your life and what he won't do in your life, kind of like you were saying about how he can show you what he's not going to take from you yet so that you can press deeper and wait longer and be more patient with him. And he's also shown me that how he answers prayers. And it's not always, sometimes it is the next day. Sometimes it is, you know, almost instantly. But a lot of the times it's after a lot of fasting and prayer and seeking him. And what he does is he reveals your real intentions on why you do things and what's keeping you from your blessing. What he does is he strips away from all the things that you think that you need, but really the only thing that you need is him. And that he's definitely shown me. I can remember there was a time last year that I was desperate for him. Like, I was feeling numb. Like, I kept praising him. I kept going to church, but I never really felt his presence. But I kept seeking him. I was like, God, I'm fasting. I'm praying. What's going on? Like, why can't I see you? Why can't I feel you? I see you doing it in other people's lives. But for me, it seems like I'm just kind of absent from him. Until I think there was a marriage conference that we went to at that church we were going to at the time. And what he showed me was that, and I think it's in 1 Peter or 2 Peter when he says that, he tells the husbands to treat your wife with understanding and compassion like Christ did. And I had remembered at that time where I was kind of so worried about myself, I wasn't even thinking about my wife. And he showed me that sometimes you have to seek out other people's needs. And then as you're seeking other people's needs, that fills your needs. And then you realize that it's better to watch other people get blessed than sometimes it is getting yourself blessed, because at the end of the day, that's what you should be praying for, is that he would touch other people's lives. Because I already know he's touched my life. He's given me a great wife. He's given me children. He's given me favor. And so, yeah, that's all I got.
Did we get mic shy there? Okay. I thought she was going to do a mic drop. I want to share something with you, just because I was up here looking at this stage, and it was bringing back a memory to me. When I went to Dallas, Pastor Nisa and I went to Dallas a few years ago, and I had to do that assignment up there. Every day, I would come out of the cabin on the 200-acre TBN ranch, and it was a lot like this. It was a big roundabout with a big, long driveway this way, one that way. This was almost shaped like a cross, you know. And I'd come out there every morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't care if it was raining. I don't care if it was cold. I don't care what was going on. I'm out there. You can ask my wife. I never missed a morning. And I'd be out there, and I'd just start walking that circle and that roundabout. And I started praying. And some mornings I'd get out there and I would just start asking for forgiveness, start asking for cleansing. Then the next thing I know, I'd just start talking. And some days I'd find myself out there 1 hour, 2 hours before I knew it. Never even thought about what I was saying, what I was doing. I kept feeling the Lord just go deeper in layers. And every time I'd go out, I'd feel a little bit deeper. And I didn't realize it. Because you can be so caught up in your life. I'm so used to everybody's, you know, everybody, hey, doc, hey, bishop. You know, I'm a doctor and a bishop. You know, so you got it on both sides. It's taking care of people everywhere you go. And I didn't realize, but, you know, you got to put something back sometimes. And you're making deposits, and ain't nobody, you know, all the time, they're making withdrawals, but you ain't getting no deposits. And so I didn't realize, but I was about 3 steps from dead. And I didn't know it because I thought I was okay. And I was pushing so hard every day for so long. And then when I got out there, it took me 2 years before I figured out, this is how you're supposed to feel? Because I thought I felt good anyway. And my mind was back. I was clear. I was full. Back. It's like, whoa, I'm back to me again, you know. So the Lord saved my life. But I'm telling you, the way he did it was through 5 o'clock in the morning. I got up there and I prayed. They said, well, how long you prayed? Until I was done. You say, what does that mean? I would pray, and I would pray, and I would pray, and I pray, and all of a sudden, I just feel it lift. So I hope I'm helping somebody, because it's like, you got this thing, and I can't explain it, but it's like you're in it, and you just feel, it's almost like a warmth, and you're in it, and you're just flowing, and then all of a sudden, you'll just feel it just lift. And when it's lift, you're done. God's not expecting you to perform for him. You don't have to act and, you know, think if you go on, you're more spiritual if you pray for 5 hours. If you pray for 5 hours, that's great, but you don't have to. I've had times when I've went and I felt something get on me, and I'll start praying, and 3 minutes I feel it lift. You say, you only pray for 3 minutes? That's all the Lord required at the time to get whatever I was needing prayed through. So sometimes it's not about the time, it's what you do in that time and how intense you are. I'm real intense when I'm in prayer. When I get in prayer, sometimes I get real intense because I'm in the spirit, man. I'm flowing. I'm seeing stuff. The Lord's giving me prophetic gift, and I'm seeing stuff, and I'm calling out what I'm seeing, you know. And so there everybody flows a little bit different. But I don't care if you're walking around and you're shouting at the top of your voice, or if you're whispering, or if you're singing, or whatever it is that God does to you, the bottom line is go spend your time with God. The first thing I do when I get up every morning is I pray to God. The last thing I do before I go to bed is I pray to God. And so I wake up with Him, I'm all day with Him, and I go to sleep with Him. Now, if you're doing that, it's hard for the enemy to get in and to sucker punch you if you're surrounded by God's Spirit all day. Now, does that mean just because you're praying, your life's going to be fixed and everything's going to be perfect? Let me tell you, when you start praying, it's probably going to get worse. See, you're no threat to the enemy right now. But as soon as you get close to something, as soon as you start ready to touch something, as soon as you start getting to a place where something starts affecting hell, it starts affecting the enemy's work, then that's when you're going to understand what an attack's all about. But if you are seasoned, you continue to stay in prayer and in the flow of prayer, then God will make sure through His Holy Spirit, because you're so connected, I'm telling you, He will give you a strategy that the enemy has no defense for. He will absolutely do it every single time. Now, we have a few minutes left. And so what I want to do is, first of all, I want to ask if anybody out there, I want to include everybody, because one thing I used to say in church, man, we'd always get in church, but we don't ever get to ask any questions. You know, we don't ever get to share any of our experiences. Like, you know, well, I'm going through this. What am I supposed to do? You have to kind of get it all through preaching. So these Wednesday nights, when we set these, this is called heart-to-heart panel discussions. We want to know your heart-to-heart. We're just sharing here tonight. Didn't they do a great job so far? I mean, they did. I mean, they're sharing from their life's experiences. And they're sharing from a very uncomfortable place. That place was uncomfortable for them, but God gave them victory through everything that they've done. So, you know, maybe you're out there today and you think, man, maybe you're in the middle of a struggle. Or maybe you're kind of stuck in an area and you need a little help or something. You'd like somebody to offer you something. Or maybe you just have a question about prayer or something like that. Does anybody here feel comfortable enough? Do we have a mic? Somebody, Winston, somebody, or who? Somebody's got a mic. Oh, there, you got a mic. Okay. Does anybody have any questions? If you just lift your hand up here. There's one back there. Let's go ahead. Go ahead, sir. Stand up. He's going to hold the mic for you there. Just go ahead. Say that again. You want to get your job back? Where's it? Where's it at? Vivian B. Adams? Okay, well, we can fix that. Y'all want to stand up and pray for him? We'll do that right. We're praying, right? This is what this is all about. So I tell you what we're going to do. Why don't you stand right there, sir? Guys, why don't everybody just turn and stretch your hand back there? And one of you guys grab that mic and one of y'all lead us in prayer. I'm going to let the young generation, they're going to take a shift on this one.
All right, all right. What's your name? What do you say? Rodney. All right. Father God, we just thank you for Rodney right now. We just lift him up. First of all, thank you for giving him the boldness to reach out and ask, Father, and we just pray that you hear his cry right now, that he wants his job back. God, Philippians 4:19 says that you shall provide all of our needs according to your riches and your mercy, God. So we just pray now that you will pour out everything that he needs right now, if it's a job, if it's finances, whatever it may be. But first of all, God, would you just draw him closer to you? Would you just draw him into your presence? Would you just draw him to his knees? Would he put his face to the ground and seek you with everything he has? Because you may be calling him to something different in this season. So if he can just seek you with everything he has, and that you'll open his ears to hear what you are speaking to him in this very time. If it's a job that he needs, we pray that you'll lead him to that you'll give him the wisdom that he needs to find just the applications or the job or to talk with the right people, and that you would make those connections that he needs right in this moment. And we thank you for what you're about to do in Jesus' name. Amen.
And we agree. Thanks, Rod. I appreciate your boldness there. See, this is what this is about. That's what a church is for. We get it fixed. Let's get it fixed. Now, see, Rod, you got something to stand on your faith right now. Because it says if two agree, just two, they will disagree that our Father in heaven will bring it to pass. Well, we just agreed on something. It's touching anything, it said. And we just touched your job right there. And you got a whole lot more than two praying. So be looking forward to that job. Come testify once you get it, okay? All right, anybody else want to speak up? Let's get a mic right over here. Is that the mic we just used? Hold on just a second. I want to get your mic. Oh, it's working okay. I want to do who wants to pray for it. Who's got it up there? Go ahead, Ashton. Everybody stretch your hand.
Tell me your name.
What's your name? Rose.
King Jesus, Almighty Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this time. Thank you that we have the privilege to come before you in prayer. And in your mighty name, I'm asking for protection.
Thank you, Lord.
And for safety. Jesus, you are holy. You are worthy of praise. And so, Lord, right now I'm asking that you would just reveal yourself to us tonight, Jesus. Lord, your hand of protection will be upon our church. Lord, that you would teach us to pray. When Moses came before you in the burning bush, he had to take his sandals off because you are holy. Lord, would you correct our perspective when we come before you, that you are perfect and you are pure and you are righteous. And so, Lord, I'm asking that your spirit would just consume this church, that you would breathe on this church. God, we ask for protection unless you call us out for your kingdom and for your glory. And so, Jesus, I ask a special hand of protection for Rose as she is going to deploy, Jesus. That you would use her for your kingdom and for your glory. Lord, that she would be a beacon of light.
Yes.
And your presence where she is sent. Lord, would you send her out for your kingdom and for your glory? Lord, we thank you for the body, and we ask that you would just surround her in prayer. And so, Lord, we thank you, and we worship you, and we love you. It's in the mighty and matchless and holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Blessings, Rose. Anybody else? AJ, that's you back there? Yeah.
Good evening.
Good evening.
The devil tried to take my place. Did y'all hear that? He said the devil tried to take my place. Every day, because 2022 started for me, the devil tried to take me out three times. Put me on a ventilator three times in my life. It started in 2022. And when I stayed in this church, praying for me like I know before, this church prayed for me like I know before. And I promise the Lord,
I promise every chance I get, y'all might get tired of me saying it, but I thank y'all. I thank y'all, because he tried it in 2022. He didn't win. Then he tried it again in 2024. He didn't win.
That's right.
Then he tried it again at the end of 2024. Y'all don't hear me. He didn't win.
He didn't win.
I'm still here. I'm still talking. I'm still breathing. He tried to take me out 3 times. But I will say the devil is a liar and God is victorious. And I just thank y'all and I love y'all for that, for real.
Yay. Good praise. We got time for another one, maybe two. Anybody got anything they...
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Thankful and grateful to be among my family tonight. I'm asking for prayer because
Alex is now 14 years this year, 17 to 14 years. And I'm going to two shows in basketball attack in 2010. And I'm going to Alex in 2011. These last couple years have worked for me. Low energy, just not interested in, you know, really more interested in writing and books anymore. You know, I got books and things that I'm supposed to be started writing 2 months ago. And they've denied me 3, 4, 5, 6 times in Birmingham. They denied me in Piedmont. And Florida with attenuations. So, you know, I've spent my life the last year or so, I've been confessing each and every day. Now, that was just
Stretch your hand this way.
Lord Jesus, I come to you right now for my brother Chris, God. We know that the weapon can form, but we know that it will not prosper in Jesus' name. I speak a curse against anything that has been cast over him, any death sentence that has been spoken over him. It will not exist in Jesus' name. Right now, we erase it in the name of Jesus. This is a new year that we are entering. 2025 is going to be Chris's best year yet. He will be healed from the top of his head to the soles of his feet and nothing less. We accept no other report but complete restoration, healing, and complete readiness in his body, God. He will be healthier than ever before. We eliminate anything that has been casted upon him, God. I also pray for my brother AJ that you heal him. Continue to heal him. There will be no one in this church. You are not taking anyone else from this church, enemy. You hear me? This is a new year. We are one family under the body of Christ, and we will all live in health in Jesus' name. I stand for it. I'm a living testimony. And Satan, you have no power over this church in Jesus' name. Not one more member is going to leave until God is ready for them. And we know that there is still a lot of works to be done in this house. And so right now, God, I pray again for Chris. He is going to have nothing but good reports from this moment on. He feels healing now. And from this moment on, he will be healed, 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 healed. In Jesus' name.
Thank Hey. Our church wants you to stretch your hand toward that table. Because what you're looking at right there, that's our future. They're going to be doing what we're doing. You got to raise up the next generation. Keep training up the next generation. I could not be any more proud of the representation of this generation that I'm witnessing right here. I'm talking about powerful, real. I'm talking about, you're talking about knowing how to get a hold of God and understand what you've got when you got Him right there. So I want you to stretch your hand that way. I tell you what, let's just stand up and you guys pray for them while they're sitting down. And let's say a prayer. Father, I thank you for this next generation. I pray over each and every one of them as individuals first. Lord, I pray that every system, cell, organ, function works 100% optimal function in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that no sickness, disease, irritation, aggravation, malfunction, or dysfunction can occur in their system. God, I pray that they are healed and whole in every way. Lord, they are in a constant state of wellness 24/7. Lord, I thank you now that not only are they healed, but they will have the strength and the perseverance and the willingness and the ability to carry out any task, any assignment, anything that you employ them to do, Lord. Anytime that you call them, Lord, anytime that you summons them, that they'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. God, I pray that they'll hear with clarity, they'll operate with accuracy, Lord, and they will be able to function at a higher level because they're functioning in the power of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that there's a resident anointing in each and every one of them, Lord. And according to Acts 10:38, Lord, you anoint them with the power that also comes with the anointing. Lord, they are a power-filled pack. And I pray that each of them now will be able to launch and be able to release in this next season. They'll be able to call those things that are not as though they are. They'll be able to bind and loose at will. Lord, they'll be able to operate because you've given them keys to the kingdom. And they will unlock the blessings that need to flow through the kingdom of God. I thank you now that you'll put a special blessing of protection over their families and over their children, Lord, and over anything that's connected to them in the way of family, friends, connections, bosses. I pray, Lord, that not only they will be protected, I plead the blood of Jesus over them that the death angel must pass over. And God, I pray for special favor in jobs and in assignments and even ventures that they'll be a part of now, Lord. I pray that for wisdom, for ideas, concepts, and insights that now they'll be able to function in areas and ways that are such higher levels of thinking that they didn't even realize that they have. That God, they're going to prosper in ways they never dreamed that they could prosper. And Lord, that they will be bringing it all back to your glory to be able to help finance kingdom. And Lord, I thank you in advance for all the good and wonderful things that they are going to do in Jesus' name. And everyone that agrees with me, just holler out amen and give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise. Come on, everybody. We're in 21 days of prayer. God has heard our prayers. He knows we're sincere. And every single prayer will be answered as it was prayed in Jesus' name. Guys, right before we leave, we're going to receive our evening offering, tithes and offerings. Ushers will stand in the aisle if you need an envelope for your giving. You know, you can give by text. You can go on and do the kiosk. You can do all those things up there on the screen. Whatever's the easiest way for you to do it. But remember, just like prayer is important, giving is just as important. I can't stress it enough. You always want to have a generous spirit toward God. One more time, put your hand together for this panel. They did a fantastic job tonight. Don't worry, you're going to be seeing a lot more of them. Son, can I just say you're coming into your anointing. Wow. 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 I don't know how a father could be any prouder. If you have your offerings, let's hold them up. Father, I thank you. Lord, for the ability to have some control. Lord, there's not much that we have in this world that we actually have control of, but we do have control over our finances. You say if we sow abundantly, we can reap abundantly. So, Lord, I believe that as we sow abundantly today into your kingdom, that you're going to return that seed back to us abundantly and harvest. Not for our own greed, for our own wealth, Lord, but so we can bless others and we can also bless and help the kingdom grow. So, Lord, I thank you for a group of spirit-filled believers that give with a pure heart and give cheerfully in Jesus' name. We praise you. We bless you. Amen, amen, amen. You may now bring forward your offerings. We're going to close with this. God bless you, everyone. Make sure you hug a few people on the way out. Tell somebody you love them. And one more time, if you don't mind, give that panel one more hand clap just to show off how much you appreciate them on the way down. Great job, guys.